Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You show. My name is Alisa.
And my name is Anna. And good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are. Did you find your headset?
I did. Does it sound any different?
At the last second? Just a little bit, but not that major.
Sound worse,
but
better.
It's more convenient for you.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I think that was how we used to do our show the very early days. Was like the first 30 minutes to an hour could have been, well, can you hear me now? But we're doing much better now.
Way much
so,
better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know Liz could not join us today. She has work that started very early for teaching. So, Anna, thank you for filling in. As always, thank you. I always love you when you can join anyway. So, but thank you for doing that. And I was just going to see how things were going. I know you've got your kids hanging out with you now, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And did you get
really
to see your brother last night?
I did not. He made an appearance, apparently. Big Brother purchased one of Little Brother's trucks, and he flew in, got in the truck, and took off. So he's he's probably, if he's not back in Dallas by now, he's almost there. He's sleeping. So I'm thinking he had plenty to do, so unfortunately, no, I didn't. Yeah, it was kind of a bummer. It would have been nice to see him. Brother Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been nice because I had the kids last night, and he could have met the kids, and I messaged him, and he's like, I have got to go back as soon as possible. So I know he's quite busy.
Sure.
Anyway, so that's, you know, it's all good. It'll happen. It'll happen.
Okay.
So so life goes on, right?
Right. No, I am.
Yeah.
I ended up, I had forgotten one of my old college roommates and her husband. They were in town for like a very quick moment. They came in Saturday and they fly out today. And she had sort of given us a heads up a while back, but I thought we were going to be doing lunch. First she'd said, maybe we could do lunch in Decatur on Monday. And then she decided to just do, not even dinner. It was going to be like after dinner, you know, drinks and dessert. So that was last night. And it was a lot of fun because she has such a different, she had one person there I had never met before, but they went to like, elementary school together.
Mm-hmm.
I went like seventh, because the kids, you guys don't have middle school, but she said, the last time I saw her was probably seventh grade.
Wow.
So like 35 years ago, whatever. So she showed up. She still lives in the area. But we were all just blown away, like, okay, so here's, like, the person at the table that's known you the longest, and then people she knew in college, and then people that she knew right after, I think, after grad school, she did Teach for America. Very first, she was part of the very first class that went through the AmeriCorps program in Atlanta. And so she had some other fellow classmates that joined in last night. And those people I had met before, which was really cool. So it was fun to be reunited with her and with her husband, who's just so incredibly sweet. And then just to have these random stories, we had a lot of laughing going on. Just if you can imagine all the different stories over the years. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So we were in, we were at Leon's in downtown Decatur. And but I was thinking, oh man, I hope that if you were able to meet up with your brother, that would be cool. But you got to see your kids, and you got to hang out when they got to spend the night, so that's always good too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Always good. And of course the house that I'm keeping an eye on has two really wonderful puppies. Well, one grown dog and one puppy. That was, you know, usually about this time nobody's up. The kids usually sleep in until at least, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, kids. And we've been up. Will and I have already had our hot chocolate with whipped cream and sat at the table and talked with each other this morning. And Jaden's up, but they're kind of wrangling the dogs for me now because Georgia, the one big puppy dog, she's actually a little bigger than the adult sized dog, and she's just a puppy.
Yeah.
So she's going to get much bigger. They're both beautiful. They look like German shepherds, but a smaller version of that. Well, at least Jackson is. And Georgia is a solid black and as soft as a bunny. I mean, she's so soft. But they're just so sweet. But she was up probably about 4 o'clock in her crate, just whimpering. And I don't know what she did. She's limping a little bit. So they kind of play hard. So I'm thinking she sprang, I don't think it's a joint or anything, but it's like she sprang a muscle in her shoulder or something like that. And so I've been doing a little bit of Reiki on her and just giving her some, like just aspirin, like, you know, one a day or something. This is going to be the third day. So she's getting better. It's just a little concern, you know, just keeping an eye on her. So they're doing that now for me while I'm doing the show. So I appreciate them.
Aw, they're good.
Oh, yeah, they're amazing. And they're at that age where they just, you know, they entertain themselves and they chill. So after the show, I'll make them breakfast and we might venture out for a little bit, but pretty much going to stay put. And just enjoy ourselves. Yeah. So, but yeah.
I do want to come over at some point. I just need to see if I can get some stuff done before then.
Oh, yeah. No worries. And I'll probably at least be here till the end of the week. And then I've got to go see Dad. And then I think my brothers are all heading to Hawaii, both of them. Why he had to go, because he had to wrap some things up because he's flying out Saturday with a little brother. In Hawaii, things are based on Hawaiian time, which is, if the surf is good, you're not going to get anything done. So my little brother has his house on the Big Island, and he has been waiting for them to come and landscape. You know, they had to put dirt in and do all this stuff. Well, we got the dirt, but the landscapers are months out. So he and Brother Bob and probably my dad at some point are all going to go, and they've already bought the plants and stuff. They've already started. So I think it's going to be, they're going to get in there and dig in and get it done. So that's kind of cool.
Nice.
I thought I would. Yeah, I was thinking about going and helping at the same time. It's my dad's turn. My dad, it's your turn. So I'll go and take care of Daisy, which is his dog. Yeah. So, you know, and they'll have fun. The guys will have fun together. So that'll be good. Yeah.
That's true.
My time here has been a little bit low key. One of the things that I kind of wanted to chit chat about, and this is something that, I was talking to a few people I was talking to Amy yesterday about it too, is, you know, like when you're doing stuff, and I think you know, Lisa, you and I have talked about this before. It's like you get into a mental mindset of sometimes it can be very productive to kind of get things done. And then sometimes it can be isolating and lonely. You know, I've said, I'm alone, but I'm not lonely. But then there are moments where you get there and you're like, oh my gosh, like, has everything that I've done up to this point, like, how does that validate? You know, it's like you start questioning yourself. You're like, oh my God. So it was interesting, but Amy sent me this, this article about doing your shadow work. And
yeah, I saw that.
We posted, and for those that are listening and you're not in there, we do have a private law of attraction group, and if you're on Facebook, and you can get it couple of different ways. If you send an email to loablend@gmail.com and say, add me to the group, we'll add you to the group, or you can go play the money game, which is at lifegetsbetterandbetter.com, and sign up for that. And the first email you get, it'll give you a link to the group, and you just kind of invite yourself, and then we approve it. So, but it's all about really moving forward, and we try to post in there at least once a day something positive and motivational. But I thought this was really interesting because I know I go through this, and I know a lot of people go through this. You know, we try our modalities. Like, I know, Elisa, you've talked about all the different things that are going on with you, and we're all on supplements, and we're doing, you know, we've been to Donna, and we've gotten acupuncture and cupping and all the things that Donna does, you know, reunion healing. And mm-hmm. There's so many things in this physical life that it's the journey, right? I mean, some of it we look at and we're like, oh, that's not good. You know, at the same mm-hmm. time, it is. And to peel back and take a look at what they call the shadow side, which is the side that you don't really want to stay in, which is, you know, the sadness or the loneliness, or maybe even you can call it depression, or if you're an Abraham fan, it's the, you know, 20 through 22 on the emotional guidance scale, right? So, which we don't want to stay there. I don't want to stay there. I want to stay through I say 1 through 7. That's where I like to stay. But you have that stuff. You've got that because that's what I call the contrast that makes life what it is. It's that, you know, that it's the moments that you realize that, and this is kind of funny, but all is right with the world, right? I mean, there are those moments where you're like, oh my gosh, is everything that I thought that I was, you know, because this is obviously the question for me for the past 3 years was everything that I worked, you know, and I can use the word hard because really that's what I was doing, which made no sense whatsoever. And then I've realized, you know, you work to do things, not necessarily for yourself, but for other people, your family, whomever. And then all of a sudden all that's taken away, it's gone. And then you're like, wow, you know, I don't want to say, oh, I wasted the last so many years or whatever. At the same time, you're like, what was I doing and how was I being? And I think that was the real, one of the real things now is, you know, we talk about law of attraction and thoughts become things. And how many of us take a look at that contrasty side of ourselves or be okay with that? I mean, I look at it as you can be, you know, kind of, I don't want to say lonely because it was not really lonely, but you're just alone. Like if you're like, say I'm just sitting in this house and it's me and the dogs, right? And it's quiet, and say maybe I'm just sitting and I'm just being still, just to be still in the stillness, right? And then there's nothing right or wrong about that. It just is. And then, you know, now I have my kids here I'm smiling. Not that I'm not necessarily smiling really big while I'm sitting on the couch listening to stillness, but I'm smiling now and, you know, I'm getting lots of hugs and it's like just those moments. And so even those moments that, for how many, like, you know, 11 or 12 years that I kind of, not that I took for granted, but I, you know, I came home from work and got big hugs, you know, I got to lounge about on the couch with my kids and watch movies, and I got to do all these things, which I don't get to do that anymore. And until I get, like, I mean, this is the first time in a very long time that I've had them spend the night, you know, or been in them for more than 24 hours. So I think I was thinking, of course, here my brain goes, you know, so you think about those things and you think, wow, that's such, I mean, it's not necessarily cool because you don't get to see them every day, but it's really cool to have that, you know, those moments, nothing has to happen, but they're so precious, you know, they're so, they're just really, really precious, just being able to be in the same space with them. So I, you know, I'm, again, you know, this is my brain just looking at things and I guess exploring sort of the wonder of our lifetime, or the wonder of emotion, really taking a look at it, sort of peeling it back and, you know, dissecting it. Because it's like, you know, when you're out and about and you don't have a bottle of water, when you finally get that, it's the most precious thing in the world.
Right.
You think
right.
about those things, how people pair it back. And it's based on just the simple necessity, because some people have a lot. I mean, I have to say that, because I am one of those people that I've been very blessed in my life to have lots and lots and lots of material possessions, and then not have material possessions, have lots and lots and lots of money, and then not have money. I've seen that ebb and flow, and I've been in that. And it's like, when you look at all of that and where you are, it's like, what is it that is required to make you happy? Which, technically, nothing external from you to make you happy. It's all inside. I don't know why I'm rambling about this. It's just, I thought it was fascinating. I haven't gone. I was going to try to, let me see if I can do the link, but it's Loner Wolf is the, but let me see if I can get you the exact link, and I can post it on the Universal Energy Radio page, but I have to, let me see if I can paste it, because it doesn't tell me, but it's lonerwolf.com/shadowwork. It's shadow-work-demons/. And if you're in the Law of Attraction group on Facebook, the private Law of Attraction group, it's posted in there. Amy posted it, which is great. Thanks, Amy. And if not, I'll post it on Universal Energy Radio's page today if you aren't there. But and we could probably put it in the show notes. But it's, to me, it's interesting, because a lot of us, and I raise my hand to that, because that's included. I don't want to look at the bad stuff. I don't want to look at it. And I guess what spurred this on was I actually did another therapy session with my ex. What was that, last week, right? And I got, and so what she was saying, what Susan was saying, which is a therapist, is that, you know, in order to get through the pain, you've got to look at the pain you've got. And that's basically what this is too. I just don't feel like you should spend years dissecting all that and trying to, you know, it's like, I want a solution now, you know, I want to be happy and I want to be happy now, you know? So I look at those things and it's like, I don't, I guess, kind of chuckling, when I was having a conversation with Amy the other day, and I said, when we look at, you know, our childhood, stuff, you know, you have a different story. You have two brothers. If you were to take all three of you and ask you about your childhood, you get three different stories, because it's three
Absolutely.
Different perspectives.
Right.
Yeah, same with mine, right. Like me and my brother and sister, three different stories. And then now we have a fourth brother who didn't get a childhood with us, so his was totally different. But Rose and Tony and I, we were raised together, and we went through a lot of stuff together, and though their stories are going to be very different, where in my head, I'm Opie from Mayberry RFD, right? I'm whistling through the woods, and I've got my fishing pole, my bamboo fishing pole on my back, you know, and my chicken necks and my string for my crabbing, and my seining net with the herring tied in for my shrimp, you know, living in rural South Carolina back in the 70s, where you're, you know, you rode your bike or you walked everywhere. And so in my head, I keep saying I had this idyllic childhood, right? And so, sure, every family has their stuff. But for the most part, I mean, your parents are still together. My parents were together until my mom passed away in 2005. I mean, it's this thing that people look at and go, oh, that's, you know, that's the American dream. And it's like, you look at all that stuff, and it's like, and I was getting kind of frustrated, because she's trying to dig something up from my past. And I'm like, you know, the only really quirky thing about my past was my religion, you know? So we kind of got into that a little bit. And because there was something about
having my art put on the walls. I remember when Steph moved in, she put my art on the walls, and it really kind of disturbed me a little bit because I was trying to explain that my art is like someone's journal. Every painting is a story. And even though you might not know that story or you can't read the words when you're looking at my art, you're still looking at my story, mm-hmm. you know? So she's like, well, why didn't you put it up there before? And I'm like, because it wasn't, I wasn't showing it off. That's not my thing. Because in my religion, it was very be humble unto God, you know, don't be showy and all this stuff. So, you know, it's like, so yeah, I mean, I guess you could peel that back, but I thought it fascinating to say, you know, what is it that's my quote unquote shadow work that I'm working with? Is it stuff from my youth? Is it stuff from, you know, my adulthood? Is it, I mean, I guess it is all of that. So it's, that article's kind of fascinating. There's some kind of quiz or something. I haven't finished it. I just started, and I started reading it, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, it's important. I don't think I finished it either. It was really good, though. I saw the link. I'm like, man, there's so many articles within that link that you can get to.
Yep.
And the shadow work is something that I knew about, you know, a few years ago, doing work with my friend Lynette, mostly when we were doing energy work and energy healing and getting in touch with your guides and all that stuff, to acknowledge that there is a shadow side to yourself helps, I guess, keep it more on a level ground and keep it very real, because while you can, you know, you can always try to focus on all the positive things, you know, there's inherently a duality in saying that. To say that you have positivity means that there's also negativity. And so mm-hmm. owning all of your stuff means, yeah, I mean, there are people that that have had a way in shaping how I think about myself. And I would say, you know, for me, the family dynamics definitely play a role in that. You know, there are things that we, as a family, we had to deal with, still have to deal with. And that goes, you know, for me, the work that I'm doing is ancestral. That goes, you know, way back in terms of how we view ourselves in the world. You know, the culture that we come from, the fact that, you know, we're, you know, to be born a woman or a female, to be gay, all of those things come up. And so they are different. They're not part of the mainstream. And, you know, as you were talking earlier, that whole thing about, you know, be humble and kind of, you know, don't make yourself known. It made me think of how, you know, that sort of that group mentality. Well, everyone's this way, so why are you standing out? You know, all of a sudden you get attention, and any bit of attention in that kind of setting would be negative attention, because that means that you're doing something different.
Right.
You know, dealing with things like that at whatever age and wherever you are in your development. To be told that at a young age means that you keep that with you, because that's, you know, you're kind of taking on the rules and also the fears of the people around you. And, you know, I grew up in a different religion than you, but, you know, trust me, there's enough, you know, guilt for everybody. So you have, you know, you have rules. And if you don't follow those rules, the big fear is you will, you know, not only mess up your afterlife, but your current life, you know, and that's pretty heavy, you know?
Right.
So I would say that helps shape perhaps a lot in terms of, you know, how I viewed myself, worrying about what other people thought about me, because God forbid, literally God forbid, you step out of line. And then how do, you know, when you bring it current, how do you hold yourself? And so when there are doubts, or, you know, maybe it shows in how you handle crisis or how you don't handle crisis. So there are things. I think it's interesting, because sometimes we're too smart for our own good, and we kind of know
the line of questioning and like, just, you kind of don't want to mess around. Like, just ask a question, you know, don't lead me like with little tidbits of, you know, here's a Skittles, and just follow the Skittles. And as you eat them, I will ask you more questions. And then you have to, you know, reveal all and ultimately be vulnerable. And I think in that kind of setting, because the therapist doesn't know you that well, there are different techniques and questions, but it's just, to me, that's fascinating. I've not been through therapy. I think I would be one of those people kind of wanting to get 10 steps ahead. Like, I see, you know, uh-huh. I see where you're trying to lead me and let me tell you where I'm going to lead you.
Like, well, that was kind of the, yeah, that was kind of,
but
the
I
thing.
Have
it's like,
too.
I don't like where this is going, because I don't live in that. You know, that was my comment.
Right.
You know,
so I don't
live in that. Yeah.
Being able to separate, like in telling a story without getting worked up about it. Sometimes it's interesting to be able to you know, recite something, and not feel an emotional charge to it. And again, that's a different setting. You know, that's not like a heart to heart, let me reveal this to you, but because she's a third person, you know, and there is a purpose for a meeting. It's not like, oh, we just happened to have this organic conversation over dinner. This is, you know, we're here to talk about stuff, about some heavy stuff potentially. So, I think understandable why, you know, you would not agree to go down that path, which you have every right to.
Right.
Because make her work a little harder.
Yeah. And that's why
not to be a difficult person, but just to maybe broaden her own scope, so that it's not, well, these are the techniques I know. It's like, well, this is transformational for everybody. And, you know, this isn't an everyday type of thing. So, you know, there are wins to be had, and mostly win-wins to be had. But I think in that resistance, there's a lot to be said, and it's not on you necessarily to like, oh, I have to just relent. It's also on her to come up with other ways of hopefully getting some information that she can work with to further it. But,
right.
You know, she's got to come up with some other ways, because, yeah, you know, if it doesn't work one way, then either you stop going, or, you know, she figures out a way to get to where she thinks she needs to be. And hopefully you're in agreement with that. Otherwise, it's just a very uncomfortable conversation, and nothing really good has come of it. So shadow work is important. It has to lay ground for other things. And so, in a way, when we acknowledge these things, not that you have to live with it, you know, live in it, and bring up all that comes with that. Sometimes after you've done the work, you can bring it up as a way of saying, I've been there. It's common ground, because chances are a lot of people have gone through something like this. But the difference is, it's the difference in when someone calls and they're still in their story, so they can see it, but they don't know how to work through it. That's part of the process. Versus having done a lot of the work, if not all of the work, and you're onto something else, and there may be a heaviness in wanting to go back and revisit, but if you look at it as a way of saying, it's also a way of acknowledging how far you've come. So the shadow work helps, because everyone's got their stuff. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, if you think it was a perfect childhood. You know, like you said, probably the only thing would be religion, but, you know, that was a big deal in your family. It was a very big deal in your family.
Extremely.
And maybe the things that your family dynamics had to go through weren't particularly, you know, weren't specific to you, but, you know, if something happens to your sister, it affects you too. That type of thing.
Yeah.
So those are things that, whether we realize it or not, we may take in some of that energy and just like, okay, well, I, now I know not to tick off my mom. If I know not to do this, so I won't have to deal with that. You
yeah.
know, sometimes it
yeah.
works that way. And I think if you're the oldest, you're kind of going in blind. You're just sort of doing things. Oh, I can't touch the hot stuff. Oh, yeah, because it hurts. You know, you don't know those things. But all the other, like your younger brothers and sisters are looking at you like, oh, my God, she just burned her hand. Like, I'm not touching that. You know, they have a very different perspective. But the trauma is whatever is felt. I mean, we all feel it. Especially if we witnessed it. Now, if we hear it secondhand, like through frustration from the parents, you still mm-hmm. get it, but to a different degree, and you process it a little differently. It's like a landmine of, okay, I don't want to step there, so I won't do this. And I think I know that if I do this, obviously it'll trigger something. I don't know exactly what, but no one was happy, you know, so I won't do that. Or you're one of those people where, oh, I kind of like that reaction. I'm going to do it too, because I think it's funny to get them all riled up. You know, it's very different how people process stuff and you know, what we think is very clear, black and white, that's wrong, this is right, do right by your family or whatever, it gets turned on its head when it's like, that wasn't my focus. I mean, I'm here to shake things up, or I don't get any attention unless I'm doing something bad, you know? These are archetypes in a way of family dynamics, you know, the bad boy or the black sheep of the family type thing. So, you know, they play out, and it doesn't mean that, you know, you have to live in it as you tell the story. But sometimes it triggers stuff that you didn't realize that was playing, you know, that was factoring in, or that you hadn't maybe looked at before in that way. So shadow work is important because it does give you that opportunity, and when you know you're doing that work, you're kind of prepared for it, even though you don't know exactly what. You're kind of prepared to not be so thrown off by, oh my gosh, that's just crazy, because you're looking in those corners, you know, you're looking just to be very thorough for yourself. And sometimes things that you witnessed as like a six-year-old, when you look at it through the eyes of a fully grown adult with some years, you know, it's like, oh, okay. And there's a way to comfort that little child. There's a way to approach that can be very healing. I get it when all these different articles from that one link, you know, they're trying to cover a lot of different things. And, oh, here's, you know, we talk more about this here. And there's another link to another article that's equally, you know, deep. I think those are very helpful. And something that it is going to be quite a journey to experience. Necessary. And it's a little more controlled because it's in an article, but you never know what's going to come up.
You still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I felt like I had a disconnect. Like, ooh, totally silent. No, I get that. And I think when we're on this journey, this spiritual journey, we have a tendency to look at, you know, look at the bright side of life. You know, it's that. And so we're always looking at the positive, and I understood that part. It's like, you know, if you're always looking for the positive, you're not stepping back and saying, oh, this feels not good. Let's try to work on that and figure that out. So I understand what she's saying. I just feel like it's something that, you know, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's, you know, I don't want to focus on that stuff. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, the flip side of that. At the same time, I know being in a space when I'm by myself, I don't want to watch TV. I don't want to listen to anything. I just want to be. And then there'll be all these emotions that come up and all this stuff that comes up. And it's like, you know, let's pay attention to that. Let's take a look at that and let's see what's going on there. And because, you know, we talk about shifting our thoughts and shifting our perspective. And then if we're stuffing down anything that doesn't feel good, and that's the stuff that's going to keep coming back up and coming back up and coming back up. So, you know, you can label it, you know, stuff from your childhood. You can label it ancestral that you need to do, like ancestral work or whatever. I mean, there's all that stuff in there. So I find it kind of fascinating to take a look at that. And I feel like I have a sense of what it feels like to be, it's kind of like the word free is kind of an interesting word, but what's the word? There's a word. It's like, you're not empty, not in a sense of nothingness, but you're empty as far as I want to be full of love. You know, I want to be full of happiness. I want to be full of joy. So you have this empty that's ready to be filled with really good stuff, you know, just really good stuff. So, I'm not articulating all of that in a way that, you know, makes real sense, but it really is about, it is about sunshine and lollipops. It is about the brighter side of life. It is about all of that stuff. And you want to be filled with that light. And at the same time, what makes that light shine brighter is that stuff, that mucky stuff that we didn't want to have to mess with or we didn't want to look at. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely the contrast. It's definitely the stuff that certainly can make life sweeter once you delve into it. And really, I'm delving into this. I'm taking a look at it. It doesn't serve me anymore. I'm ready to let it go. I'm ready to release it. Even with the paradigms of growing up as a Jehovah's Witness, we were raised as a Catholic. I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. So it's like two really extreme religions that, I don't know how many, you guys went to church at least once a week. I know we went three times
felt like
a week.
Twice a week.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, so you're kind of steeped in this stuff and it's like, you know, certainly not blaming that. I say that that's my foundation. At the same time, there's so many paradigms within that that you have to, you don't have to, but I'd like to shed them, you know, because I feel like I'm not moving forward in the way that I really want to move forward. And those are the things that have been coming up for me. And so to me, when you go to, a therapy session or you're having a conversation with somebody and this information is sort of coming up, I think it's something to take a look at. You've really got to say, okay, I'm going to take some time and I'm going to really, you know, I know there's a lot of articles in there. I was trying to go back and look at all the links. I think there's probably at least, I don't know, a dozen links or so. There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah.
A lot of articles. Yeah, in there. But at the same time, it's like it's important. At least 10 to 12 of them. It keeps jumping around on me. So 12, 13. I think there's like 12 or 13. But yeah. So, I think the right thing that got me was one of the headlines in there is why focusing only on the light is a form of escapism. I'm like,
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As you were talking, the thought came up with, you know, you are someone, you're very much in the moment. And so when you, there are things that, like, say, in your just past relationship, where the longest relationships where, you know, you weren't even aware of some of the things, you weren't aware of like some of the nuances. And that's, you know, just something that I think maybe in hindsight, other people are like, oh yeah, but don't you know, that was what was always happening. You're like, how come no one ever told me? You know, it's one of those, like, how come I didn't see it? Or, because you just didn't see it. And so, you know, but isn't it interesting that you've spent, you know, a good portion of your time in this relationship with somebody who had a very, very different background and was dealing with all of this, all of the stuff. you know, from well, way before, you know, you ever came on the scene. It's just stuff that, that she's had, you know, since her childhood.
Right.
So here's, you know, here's you with, like, you know, basically, you know, sunshine, you know, beaming out of you. And then, you know, here's someone else who, who's mostly like in shadows, you know, in a sense, you know, just
right.
sort of can't always, couldn't always handle being in that type of, and that sharing that type of energy, like, you know, you just being you, you're going to, you know, you have a lot of people who just want to hang out with you. And so, you know, when you look at it that way, it's like, okay, interesting. You know, we talk about opposites attract, I guess. And like, there was enough to draw her out to say, oh, you know, cause it's something that she would crave. She craves to have supposedly this life of ease the way you are with how you are with people, you know, and in any situation, it's totally fine. Even though, you know, for you, you're like, no, but I'm really mostly an introvert. And it took a long
yeah.
time to get to that point. So this yeah. is, that's the sort of story that would be, I think, interesting. Not that people, because I can, you know, I kind of know the dynamics of your previous relationship, like, well, you can just deny that that's not how it is. You know, that doesn't get you anywhere. But if you are allowed to just, you know, be and say what you think is going on, and the same for her, it would be very interesting. I think that would be an interesting, worthwhile session to be sitting in on and give the therapist something to work with
yeah.
versus like just a one-sided, this is what I think needs to happen, you know?
Well, I think she has that. I think she does. And I think that there has been conversation about perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's huge. Like how we perceive. So in all of that,
right.
all of that, you know, we talk about the shadow work. It's our perceptions that really formulate our thinking. And then I always talk about now that, you know, we don't really see, we filter. So we perceive, we create a story, and then we filter out anything that doesn't support that story. So everything
mm-hmm.
in our life that shows up supports our story, whatever it is, whatever our perception is. So to me, that's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And to actually take a moment, whatever, you know, me, I would take a moment because that's jumping around, to take a look at that, the shadow stuff. You know, I'll come back to it. I go to it. I'll come back to it and walk away from it, come back to it. You know, have an aha. And then I seriously, like when I was looking at the information, was just totally fascinated by, I mean, even just the headlines in there. And I was like, wow, yeah, I need to get in and read these articles and take a look at it. Because this is now something that, you know, I talk about law of attraction. It's something that's coming into my experience. So it's good to take a look, you know, to pay attention to that. And that's why, you know,
right.
little by little, I think it's fascinating because when we first started these shows, it really was, you know, we're going to see all shiny, happy, bright, be happy, you know, not even think about it. And then it's like, oh, we need to acknowledge all the other emotions too. You know, it's like, let's not acknowledge all of those emotions. Because otherwise
yeah.
you stay stuffed down, right? So you've got, to me, you have to release it. You've got to let it go. Because if you don't, it festers. You push it down. It hurts. So when we push that down, anything that doesn't feel good and we don't acknowledge it, it stays within us. I mean, that's my perspective. But
right.
at the same
no,
time.
Sure.
When it tries to surface and you're having those thoughts, and again, whatever that is, you know, whatever that thing is, and I'm sure there was a lot, we were talking about like your two brothers, and I grew up with an older sister and a younger brother. Well, my older sister took care of all of us. So she
mm-hmm.
was the one who would burn her hand, and we would all learn from that.
Right.
So
right.
yeah, so my sister was the oldest of all of us, and she took care of all of us. And my sister had
right.
a really different story about her childhood, and it wasn't particularly always fun and nice. And mm-hmm. so, and of course, since we found my brother Bob, we've kind of put some pieces together and deduced that my mom had a particularly rough teenage years, and which, you know, you just, you want to hug her. She's not here. And she's, you know, she's omnipotent now, but she's like, yeah, I mean that, but that's the experience. That's the contrast. That was the human part. I think the thing that got me was the fact that she, like, for 65 years, we heard nothing of Brother Bob, or there were little elements here and there. I didn't really pay attention to that. My sister did, but there were other things that came up. And now since, you know, Bob, my sister and my brother Bob are like piecing it together. We went to New Orleans. We, you know, we've been on this like miraculous journey. And I think part of that for them was healing them, you know, like paying attention to and trying to find mom's trail. Like, where did she go? Where was she living?
Right.
Who was she working with? You know, who did she come in contact with? My brother Bob actually found out who his biological father is, and sadly, I think he passed away about 2 weeks ago.
Oh wow!
And his father didn't want anything to do with him, but he's found out he has another brother and another sister. You know, there's so like, the story is just his story, my sister's story. I mean, you know, Tony and I are just kind of standing here like, wow. You know, even there's a little text, because obviously we text each other in the morning, and when Bob said that he had lunch with his other sister, you know, Tony's like, oh, my God, like, you know, how many more do you have? Like, you know, and it's kind of like, that's, and then all of a sudden Tony's like, that's not fair. Like, you, Rosie's got, what, six others, and then Bob's got a couple others, you know. And I told Tony, I said, it's just me and you, kid. I said, but I'm going to do my DNA, so we'll see what happens. So I haven't done my DNA yet. Who knows what's going to pop up after that happens. So,
that's funny.
I think it's funny. Yeah, I tell you, the ancestry, if those that are listening, the ancestry DNA or the 23andMe or all those DNA plates, I mean, this is either going to really reunite a lot of people or it's going to break up a lot of families. I mean, all I can say is, you know, which is funny because his biological father didn't acknowledge him. And it took him a while because there were three brothers. I think one had passed away earlier, so we figured it wasn't him. So it had to be one of two. And then as far as where they were location-wise, they figured out it was just this one. And I will tell you, ancestry, for people who out there who are adopted, or if you know people who are adopted, if you do your DNA with Ancestry, there's a free service. I don't know if it's just through them, it could be anywhere, but there's a free service for people who were adopted, and they help you find your biological family. And Bob did that. but in that, he gained another aunt, he gained a brother, and he gained a sister. Now, he's got a brother who's half Japanese, not sure where he lives. He was raised in Japan, but I think he might live stateside, and his sister lives literally 30 minutes from him in Texas.
That's crazy. Wow.
So, yeah, and his biological father lived not 20 minutes from Rose, my sister, our older sister. So just little detail. And, you know, as adults, you know, like Bob would say, this is, you know, we had nothing to do with this. But here we are. And I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I love you, man. He's like, I love you too. And he's just, he's like, I can't wait to hang out with you guys again. You know, he's so excited. And he and Tony, you know, Tony's flying out to Hawaii, I think, today. And Bob will leave on Saturday. So they'll get some brother time. And I think that's really great. And I think my little brother is so excited to have a big brother, you know.
Yeah.
Bob grew up with adopted. He had another adopted brother, a younger brother, and a sister that his parents his adoptive mom gave birth to a little girl after they adopted the boy. So there are three of them, but it's a different dynamic, you know. And as he said, mm-hmm. I mean, you guys are. He goes, I'm not discounting all my siblings at all, but you guys are my brothers and sisters, and I'm excited about that. So You know, he's just a sweet man, and we just adore him. He's just been a fantastic addition to our family, you know. Brother Bob.
Yeah, I hope I get to meet him. Pretty much the people that you're related to, like it's through your mom's side. Like, we're not related, only like, you know, through marriage. But I'm like, oh yeah, like this cousin Charlie. You know, I call him cousin Charlie. He's not really my cousin, but he's my cousin. And so same thing with Bob. I think that'd be really cool to he'd be cousin Bob, but not, not brother Bob, but cousin Bob.
Cousin Bob.
Well,
yeah.
What's interesting, back in the day, you know, on the Filipino side, it would be like when someone passed away, that's when like the other family comes out of the woodwork to show up.
Yeah.
Like, who are you?
Yeah.
Well, he was my father. Like, what? That used to be like Aunt Thelma was telling me about that. Yeah. When so and so passed away, all these other people came to the funeral. We didn't know who they were. They were all like his other family. Whoa.
It's it's Lolo Tinoy. Which is, he's a Kilong aunt, and he was like a politician, like seriously. And so, when he passed away, like all these people came out, like, oh, that he's my father. And so, Kilongs are big family anyway. So now here they are again. There's more to them, you know. That's what I said, you know, the DNA thing. And I, you know, and again, I don't know if that's a primarily something that's focused on in the United States. I, you know, part of me has this conspiracy theory thing on the side that says, you know, they're just trying to gather information on us. That's really why I didn't do it for a very long time.
Oh,
but since we found
I don't blame you.
Bob, yeah, I was like, well, what the heck, you know, might as well do it. And it's like, they're not going to want me anyway because Filipino redneck. But it'd be fascinating. Yeah, because I don't know, because it, only if like other countries, I think, did this, like, you know, how big is DNA in Japan and how big is DNA in the Philippines? I don't know. So I'll have to wait and see, because that's really the line that we don't have, is which is our family line, which is what I would be creating once I get in there. So we'll see how many people have done that. Yeah. Because I asked Dad, I said, you know, you need to tell me something ahead of time, maybe? I don't know. Is there anything that I might discover? He's like, no, Annie, just do it. Love you, Dad. I'm going to be doing my DNA soon. You know. But we should. We should get our, you know, get especially our elders, you know, Auntie Mila, Auntie Lourdes.
Yeah.
They should all do their DNA. You know, I think it would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
For all of them to be on there. Yeah. I mean, we did create a family tree once. But your mom has hidden the password. Nobody can see your profile.
We're going to have to dig into that and find out what's going on. I'll have to, like, you know, when we're on a cruise, I'll have to swab her, the inside of her cheek, and then, you know, send it off.
You know, and my take is this, you know, we live a short life here. Why not just let it all hang out? I mean, just be honest. Just be honest about who you are. It's like,
right.
You know what? I'm kind of, and I realize that, like, I mean, I love to brainstorm with people. The follow through kind of sucks, you know?
Well, yeah.
Unless you get on me, or you say, hey, I'm going to spend a whole day with you and we're just going to handle this. It's like, cool. And if you do that, generally I will get it done. And it's like, that's, you know, I ran a business for 32 years and I pretty much, unless I thought I was going to miss a deadline, I'd give a call. But otherwise I probably had a 98 or 99.5% of making the deadline. Because I didn't want to disappoint, you know, so I was on.
Right.
Like, so I think that's the thing. It's like, and I'm a really great ideas person. I'm actually pretty good at executing when I do it. It's just, you know, I love people. People come to me. I do. I have people texting me, hey, I need to talk to you about this idea. Great. I'll give you my thoughts on it. And it's like, yeah, we can do this. I actually just met with a friend of mine last week. She called me yesterday, and it's been over a week, and I we were messaging, and I said, okay, I was ready to act. I'm ready to jump. And she's like, I need more time. I'm like, wait, this is your idea. You know, mm-hmm. I can help mm-hmm. you now. But she's like, no, I'll let you know when I'm ready. Okay, fine. Well, I was with the kids yesterday, and I'm like, I'm not answering that phone because I was ready to jump a week ago. And now, and we'll jump. It's all right because it's a great idea. It's just, you know, today, you know, I won't talk to her until after 3 o'clock today because I've, you know, that's when the kids go. So I'll have that conversation then. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but it's that, you know, what's my genius work? And I think that's what everybody really, to be happy, figure out what your genius work is and go do that. If you're genius, you know, I was thinking, I was laughing and going, I would, you know, I'd like to work for Home Depot just like part-time because I love that stuff, right? I mean, I'm in this house and I'm like fixing things. I fix the sink faucet that is one of those pull-down things and it's supposed to pop back up after you're done, like the sprayer, and it doesn't pop up. And so I looked under there and whoever rigged it put the weight on the wrong side, so I changed that. The closet door in the hallway kept popping open. I fixed that. You know, I'm like going through the house fixing things. She's got 3 lamps I need to fix. You know, I have like a honey-do list for myself, and I'll go in and I'll fix stuff. I love doing that stuff. I'm like, I'm just, you know, like right now it's what I'm doing. And then in my head I see myself in an art studio, like with people around me, and we're creating art and we're teaching art and we're doing all this stuff. Like, what fun would that be? You know, so my head's like, bing, 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 bing. And, yeah, ain't got no time for no shadow work. No.
Only the shadow knows. Got no time for no shadow work. I got to put this ceiling fan up. I don't understand.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I got me some work to do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it'll come up regardless, you know, like that shadow work comes up. If you're not completely like cognizant of it, it happens in other ways. It happens in your freaky dreams. It happens, you know, when you're just sort of daydreaming and then, you know, like this stuff will come up.
Yeah.
I think it happens and you just don't call it that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's happening. You're just not filing it under shadow work. It's just like, oh, that was how my day went. So
yeah,
it's good.
Oh, well, that one's done.
Nothing gets lost on
tomorrow.
That.
I get another one tomorrow. Yeah. But yeah. So just interesting stuff, just pinging away at in my brain. And it's like, and then, you know, I always pay attention to what's coming up in my life. Like, is it, I'm really feeling, you know, how are you feeling? And I think Amy asked me that one day, like, how are you feeling? You know, we're talking on the phone, and I was like, well, this is how I feel. And I went, blah, and just kind of spit it out.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, thank you for sharing that. You know, it's like, cause that is true.
Yeah.
It's like, you just have those moments where you're just not, you're not feeling who you are. And it's like, but I'm acknowledging that, you know, and it's, sometimes it's not easy because I don't want to feel that way, but that's how I'm feeling right now. So,
that's shadow work. I mean, honestly, those moments you do acknowledge it and you realize, well, I don't know what I can do about it, but it's there. You know, that's shadow work. That's you doing the work.
Yeah.
That's the other side of it. And then when you're ready to go deeper, because you'll continue asking some of those questions, then you have people like Donna who can do reunion healing. You know, you have a lot of people who can dive a lot deeper with you to explore it. You know, but you know, you're doing the work. You know, Liz is great with that too. I talked to Liz about dreams because she'll like, oh, she's got that down. She knows what it means. You know, or she'll get the meaning out of it and apply it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we've been doing a lot of our own types of shadow work. Maybe just like I said, not filing it under that, but that is what it is. And because you're so used to being in that, you know, working with just very light positivity, all that stuff, you're not wanting to look at it. You're just like, I don't want it to touch me because then I may get the cooties from that, you know. But it's not separate from you.
It's just on a side that you don't get to see. You know, it's still part of you.
You know, and I think that's true, because one of the things that I was not trying to ask, but it was in my mind, was how did I create that chaos in my life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, two, three years ago, how did I create that? Because, you know, I'm going to acknowledge my creation. And yes, I'm not going to point my finger and say it's all your fault, because I had help in that. I was helpful in that. And obviously there was something there for me. So acknowledging that stuff, and I think that's very different too, because most people want to blame the other person. Oh, trust me, I blamed a lot. But then it's like, mm-hmm. that was just my human self going, blah, you know. And then I was like, no, I was a participant in creating whatever that crazy chaos was. You know, mm-hmm. I was definitely a participant. So acknowledging the fact that you participated and you created that chaos in your life, and you brought that person or persons in to help. I feel like we had an agreement. We're gonna stir this stuff up and see what happens. And maybe that's to further, it is to further, not even a maybe, but it is to further you and your development and your growth and expansion. And when I say, you know, you, I mean all of us, because when we can take mm-hmm. a look at it and say, all right, we're not going to get stuck in this. Because some people do. They get stuck, you know, whether it's someone passing physically, or someone divorcing, or someone, you know, losing a job, or mm-hmm. any of those things that don't make us feel good, you know, and instead of looking at it and pointing a finger and being miserable about it, I mean, pay attention. I know a lot of people who've lost their jobs recently, but all I heard them do was complain about their job when I was around them. It's like, right. And then they're upset because they lost their job. And I'm like, wait a second. You didn't appreciate your job. You didn't appreciate it while you had it. So why would it stick with you? Okay. And I know we have to wrap it up here, but let me just say that this thing says we generally seek to punish that which reminds us most uncomfortable about the parts of ourselves that we have not come to terms with. And we often see these disowned qualities in the world around us. So that goes back to what I was saying before. You're going to filter out the things that don't support your story. You're going to bring in the stuff that does support your story. And you're going to punish anything and anybody that reminds you of your story and your shadow work.
Right.
So, bum, bum, bum. Interesting.
That's deep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very deep.
Yeah.
So we'll talk some more about it sometime. I need to get on here and do a little show, and I'll dig deeper into this and in my own shadow work and go from there. But I love you, Kusin. Thank you for
I love you
having
too.
Me on today.
Thanks yeah. for filling in, and that's always going to be a good conversation. You know, you and I can just like have any conversation when it's recorded. Like, okay, that's our show.
You know, we should record it half the time when we're sitting there anyway. We have some really interesting conversations.
Honestly. But anyway, thank you again for joining. And I know Liz will hopefully be back on Thursday, but if not, hey, I'll see
yes,
if I can get you on again. You can always join in. But so thank you. And so for those of you who do want to get in touch with us, you can email loablend@gmail.com and give us your question. Let us know if we're not to read the question on the air, because sometimes we will do that. So if it needs to be private, just mark it, and we'll try to talk around it and address it at our next show. But we should be back on the air this Thursday at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. And if you do want to join, please call. It's probably the best way. I know we should send out the email, but we do like having it's a radio show, so it's nice to have the conversation.
Yeah, get on the air.
Get on the air. Yeah. So I think that's that. Our tagline here, let the light do the work into brighter days ahead. So take care, everybody. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.